Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Hey, everyone. Matt Bove here in my hotel following the Bills 35-10 loss to the Baltimore Ravens. Almost said win. Definitely wasn't a win. They got punched in the mouth. Quite simply, that's what we saw happen on Sunday Night Football. The Bills went into M&T Bank Stadium, and right off of the, you know, the jump, it just looked like they were playing catch-up, and they didn't really have any answers for the Ravens' offense in the first half. They didn't really have any answers for the Ravens' defense for most of the game. They just lost. They played a bad game against a good team on a short week on the road in primetime and had a really bad performance. We will talk about some of the reasons why we should be concerned about this team in this episode. But I am not going to be completely doom and gloom. If you want me to tell you that the Bills are frauds and that I think that the season is shot, I'm not going to do that. So if you don't want to keep watching or you don't want to keep listening, that's your choice. But I'm not leaving this game that concerned. The reason I think that they lost this game so one-sided and why it was so bad, the Ravens were able to attack the middle of the field, which also happens to be where the Bills are the most banged up. In this game, you really noticed no Terrell Bernard, no Taron Johnson, obviously no Matt Milano, and you noticed the questions this team has at safety. We'll talk about that too. Offensively, Bills' offensive line did not hold up that well. Actually, I shouldn't say that well. They did not hold up well. And they were lacking separation with the wide receivers. So every single play that they made, it felt like Josh Allen needed to be spectacular. Also, the Ravens have an exceptionally good run defense. And the Bills really didn't even try and run the ball a ton because they knew it would be a lost cause. Now, funny enough, James Cook actually averaged 4.3 yards a carry, which is not terrible, but only 9 attempts. So clearly that was not the plan going into this game. What I thought would be the plan for the Bills would be to try and stretch the field. They did it a couple times. They had the only one successful one was really the one where Josh was rolling out to his side and throws that ridiculous pass to Khalil Shakir, the 52-yarder. That play was stupid. They had the missed drop opportunity for Keon Coleman at the end of the first half. That's a catch he has to make. He redeemed himself a bit with a couple nice contested catches, back shoulder catches in the second half, so that was good to see. But yeah, it was just a mismatch really on both sides of the ball, and I think it just kind of spiraled out of control. Honestly, I think the Derrick Henry play is a nice microcosm of really how this game was. He's running away from them, and it just made the Bills play catch up and get out of their comfort zone. And then when it looked like they had a chance to get into the game, back into the game, they call the stupidest trick play ever. Trick plays are, if they work, they're great. If they don't, they're stupid. We have the benefit of hindsight here and just knowing how it ultimately played out. That was in the press box watching that play. The minute Josh gets hit and then falls to the ground and his lower back hits the ground, he's lying there. My life, and I think a lot of people's life, like, flashed before my eyes of, like, whoa, did this season completely just change on this one play? Now, Josh Allen gets up. He goes off to the sideline. He comes back in later in the game. But it looked like he was really injured. And it also, for it to happen on that play, would have just been the ultimate gut punch after watching this game. But, I mean, at that point, it's an 11-point game. The Bills are at half midfield. It's like 2nd and 7, I think, when the play happens. And if you believe in momentum, the momentum had kind of swung back to the Bills a little bit. If you don't believe in momentum, well, the Bills were playing better and the Ravens were starting to stall a little bit. But then right from that moment on, I mean, they have that play. There's the turnover. And then it was just like, okay, this game is over. And then it became especially over when Bass missed that field goal later on. That would have made it a two-possession game. They didn't even have a chance to make it a two-possession game. And that's when it just really ended. That's another thing we'll talk about, Tyler Bass. So to me, this is one of those games that got out of control against a good team, and they were never able to get it back in control. But even playing as poorly as they did in the first half, they still somehow got within striking distance in the second half and almost made it a game. I think that there are a lot of things that need to be cleaned up. I think there's a lot that this team needs to do better. I think as they get a little bit healthier, we will see improvements, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They need Taron Johnson back on the field. Cam Lewis has done a fine job, but this was his worst game. and you could tell with the missed tackles and just the plays where he was out of position. There was the screen pass on 3rd and 15 where he gave way too much of a cushion. They convert that. That goes from what should have been a field goal to eventually a Ravens touchdown. Like, those just backbreaking plays cannot happen. So there was that. There were the missed tackles. He had a missed tackle that turned into a Ravens touchdown. I think it was Justice Hill. It was like 3rd and 7. They throw it out in the flat. Cam Lewis misses the tackle. That ends up being a 1st and goal, and then they score the touchdown a couple plays later. This is not like pile on Cam Lewis. I'm just saying, like, he is a player who is not supposed to be your starting nickel. That is Taron Johnson. Without him, they have done enough to get by, and to Cam Lewis's credit, he has played well. They really missed Taron Johnson today. I think the exact same thing about Baylen Spector with Terrell Bernard. Baylen Spector made the fumble recovery play. He had a sack on Lamar. There were a couple splashes, but there was also more of, like, I don't know if this guy has the experience in the skill level to play against a guy like Lamar Jackson consistently. Now, I know not every quarterback is Lamar, and that's why the Bills looked worse than they have at any point this season. But Terrell Bernard is going to make more of those plays than anybody that they had on the field in this game. And then the safeties, like, Damar Hamlin was the big story last week. He struggled in this game. Taylor Rapp gets injured in this game with a concussion. Cole Bishop comes in and looks like he's got a long way to go to be like a full-time starter in the NFL, which is to be expected for a young player who does not have that many snaps. They have a safety problem. Like, they really do. And that, to me, is the position that I'm the most concerned about moving forward, because they don't have a ton of options. Like, Mike Edwards is inactive. So that tells us what they think of Mike Edwards. Damar Hamlin did not play good. Now you have Taylor Rapp with a concussion. Who knows how long he is out. I don't know what you do. I mean, I know it's me doing this podcast, so the layup here would be you call Micah Hyde. But it's not like if you call Micah Hyde, he's just stepping out onto the field. There's going to be a couple weeks where you have to figure out how to get by until he is eventually ready to return, if they even do that. But I think that they need to address the safety position. They'll be better once Taron Johnson and Terrell Bernard come back, and then eventually when Matt Milano is going to come back. One of the few bright spots from this game was that all three of them were traveling. That's an indication that they're at least making progress. I think there's a real chance we see Taron Johnson and Terrell Bernard on the field against the Texans. Matt Milano is still at least a month or two away, minimum, but the fact that he's around more is a good sign for the Bills. See, defensively, they stunk. The defensive line did not get pressure in this game. They made very, very few splash plays. Besides the turnover, it was just a very forgettable day. Lamar Jackson had way too much time to throw when he was throwing. I mean, this is crazy to me. He attempted 18 passes in this game. They were running down the Bills' throat, and the Bills had no way of stopping them. And, like, that's the other thing. You could say, like, wow, this team's got a problem with run defense. Yeah, but it's also Derrick Henry, and he had an 87-yard run. Like, it just got away from him, and then at that point, you know, you're overcommitting to the run after you get absolutely gashed on the Ravens' first offensive play of the day, and then that makes you even more in your head because you're thinking about not letting him break off another big run, which then opens up things in the passing game. I mean, what if I told you this is absurd? Isaiah Likely, 26. If I told you this stat line before the game, you would have said, oh my gosh, the Bills are going to win. Justice Hill had 78 receiving yards. That's good. After that, Isaiah Likely, 26, Rashad Bateman, 23, Zay Flowers, 10, Derrick Henry, 10, Nelson Agholor, 10, Mark Andrews, 0. If I told you those numbers before the game, you'd have been like, okay, the Bills are going to win. Like, they're going to contain the Ravens, and the Ravens aren't going to be able to score a ton of points. Well, no, they ran all over the Bills. Lamar averaged 9 yards a carry. Derrick Henry averages 8.3 yards a carry. Like, they were just very dominant in the run game. Not many teams the Bills will play for the rest of the season will do this. It's eerily similar to the last time they got blown out with Jonathan Taylor running all over them in Buffalo in that season, where that was the last time they lost a game by more than 6 points. That was 43 games ago in the regular season. This is eerily similar to that, because in this game, Derrick Henry runs all over them. In that game, it was Jonathan Taylor running all over them. So it's weird how there's, like, the symmetry between the two games, and it was also the last time they got blown out, and now all the way to this point when they get blown out. But It's like one of the things that they don't do. They don't get blown out. They don't give up big plays. In this game, they got blown out and they gave up big plays. It's almost like there's some sort of correlation there. But I think a lot of this is just about the Ravens playing a really good game. Shifting back to the offense. After the game, we're standing in the press box or the post-game press conference room. Josh Allen comes out. We've seen Josh Allen after a lot of these losses, and there's times when that dude just looks defeated. He looks like he went through a war. He looks like he's just deflated and just doesn't have anything left in him and feels like he's like really, really taking the loss hard. Just my opinion, I did not feel that way at all after this game. This guy came into the press conference, and my vibe that I was getting from him is basically like, we played bad, they played good, it's week four, we will figure this out. Some people might not like that. Some people might say, I don't want my quarterback to be thinking like that. I want him to be crushed after every game. I am not one of those people. I think that that's a sign of growth. I think that's a sign of confidence that they will figure it out. I think that's a sign of maturity. I also think, like, having the Texans coming up, like getting this little piece of humble pie now is probably a nice wake-up call for the Bills, realizing like, hey, we got a lot of stuff we got to be better at if we truly are going to be one of the best teams in the league. I always think with the NFL, there's only 17 games. It is so easy to overreact every week that last week people got too high on the Bills. It was like, oh, are they the best team in the NFL? Got there way too fast. It's only three games. Now, people are going to try and go the other way. People are going to say they're frauds. The only good team they play, they lose to by 25 points. And that's once again too far. The truth is somewhere in the middle, and it's much closer, in my opinion, to the Bills still being a good team. Hindsight is a heck of a thing. If I told all of you listening or watching this a month ago, they would be 3-1 to start the season, you would say, okay, that's fine. Like, let's see what they do in these next two games. Look around the league. It is a weird league. The Jets scored 9 points at home against the Denver Broncos today. They are 2-2. Who knows what the Dolphins do with Tyler Huntley against the Titans on Monday Night Football. The Chiefs play a close game on the road against a banged-up Chargers team. They score 17 points. Weird stuff happens in this league. What happened on Sunday is not directly going to correlate to how the Bills look against the Texans. They should have more success offensively against that defense, even though there are some nice playmakers on the Texans, and you would like to think that they're going to be able to tighten up defensively in their own right. I mean, once again, what happens one week does not correlate to the next week. Houston was losing to the Jags with 18 seconds left in their game. They score a touchdown, they take the lead, they win by 4 points. The same Jags team the Bills just beat by 37. So, weird things happen, games get out of control. Once the avalanche starts, it's kind of hard to stop it. That is very much how I feel about this Ravens game. They got to clean a lot up, but the sky is not falling yet. It's not my biggest concern, because it is definitely not the reason they lost this game. They have to figure something out with Tyler Bass. This is becoming a problem and is on the verge of really becoming a problem if they need him to make a big-time kick. He makes the 50-yarder at the beginning of the game. That's good. He makes the extra point on the touchdown. That's good. Pulled the one left from 48 yards when they had, that was their only hope of staying in the game, was him making that kick, and he doesn't make it. It's just becoming an issue. Every week we are talking about him, and look around the league. Like, you look at these kickers, some of these guys are making kicks from 50, 55, 60 yards, and they're doing it routinely. I mean, I want to look this up. I'm doing this on the fly. I think Tyler Bass is 5 of 7 for the year on field goals. Like, that's not good enough. That needs to absolutely be better. He is 6 of 8. So he has 6 makes, and he has 2 misses. That is not good enough. These are just like basic numbers here. Now, the sample size is small, but I think they need to bring somebody in just to work them out. And I think if we're having the same conversation again in a week, then maybe you just sign a kicker. I don't think financially it would make sense to cut Bass, but I think you maybe just have him inactive for a couple weeks and see what somebody else is able to do. And I know that this is all a mental game and that you don't want to completely wreck his confidence, whatever is left of it. But you need him to make kicks. And I know he made the first one, but he didn't make the second one, and that cannot happen. And I know I jokingly all the time talk about Micah Hyde on this podcast, but I don't know why you wouldn't call him. I know he's not the same player. I know he's got the neck injury and the history there, and you don't know how much he could hold up. But he's got to be better than the other options you have. So that's why that would be something I would look into. I think that they've got a lot of soul searching to do this week, but I think they will. One of the things this team has done a good job over the years is that when they have a bad game, they rarely follow it up with another bad game. Also, just it's a weird league. So there's a lot that you could take away from this game. I just feel like the Bills laid an egg. The Ravens played good. It got out of control fast, and that's where we are. So the Bills were 3-1. Start the season. If you're somebody who looks at the season in four-game segments, I know it's harder now with the extra game, but if you break it up into sections, if you take 3-1 over the course of the season, you're really sitting pretty. We always thought these first six games were going to be hard. They lose one of them. If they lose the next two, then you absolutely have reason to be concerned. If they win one of the next two and they're 4-2, I think you probably still feel really good about the start that they had. It's just nip it in the bud. Go to Houston, win a game, get to 4-1, then beat the Jets. Or, you know, even if you lose one of these two games, get to 4-2. Then you can hopefully go on a little bit of a run with the Titans, with the Seahawks, with the Dolphins, because you don't know what's happening with that whole situation. Like, got to take advantage of this. It's a hard start. I don't think the first three games were as hard as we thought they might be. I think these next two games are more winnable than I thought they would be a couple weeks ago. Got to play better, though. They're capable of it. As long as you got Josh Allen, you got a chance. I know I've rambled. We will do a real episode, a full episode of the podcast sometime soon, but I wanted to get something to you guys for Monday. So thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. We appreciate all of you. We have continued to see our numbers grow, and we really, really appreciate all of the continued support. So thank you. Sorry that your week is starting with us talking about a Bills loss, but it's just one week. In the words of my best friend Aaron Rodgers, relax, everyone, at least for right now.